Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news this Friday morning and transfer news as De Zerbi quits for United? Well, we don't even know if he's quit. There's talk of resignation. He's high on the list for Man United. What does that mean if he actually has walked out of Marseille? Also, we'll be talking about the big Man United transfer scam. There's only 3 full days left of this transfer window now, and Man United are still sat on their arse doing nothing. We've got 6 years of Bruno Fernandes. We've got comments coming in from Martinez. And on top of that, Malacia, what's happening with him in the next few days. So quite a lot to get into, plus anything you want to discuss as well. Remember, we've got the press conference for you coming up at 1:30 with Carrick. I've got an 8 o'clock show for you. And if you're interested in driving with Goldbridge, that's about to drop at 10:45. So you can literally go and watch that new episode straight after this. But let's go. Manchester United. I want to start off with this, actually. You might be thinking about protests. You might be one of those fans that are ignoring it because you're a Glazerite. But we're not going to ignore it here. The scam is real. And this is topical. You won't get it in any newspapers. You won't get it from any ex-players. And you certainly won't get it from certain content creators who are Glazerites. But you will get it here. The scam is nearly complete. We have 3 days left of this transfer window. And Man United, the Glazers, Sir Jim Radcliffe have almost completed their plan, which to me would be shocking if we didn't put up with it all the time. They're actually going to hit the end of this transfer window with no additions at all, which is absolutely incredible. But it just indicates that this ownership can do whatever the hell it likes to this football club and nobody will do anything about it. So protest on Sunday, fantastic. Hopefully it can be the start of something. But you do fear with this fan base, it probably won't be, because there actually are there people out there sat smiling and pretending everything's okay because we've won a couple of games. We've done this so many times. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won 8 in a row. We're a load of shit. We need to keep the pressure on the ownership in some way, shape or form, because it's an absolute joke that they've managed to con the fans again with spin and lies and bullshit to work their way through a transfer window and do absolutely nothing is incredible. Incredible. And the only reason they're not doing anything is because they're rubbish at their job, but also because everybody else is not having a good season. If Liverpool had done what they should have done and Newcastle had played to their potential, we'd probably be seventh and there'd be uproar about not doing anything. But because fourth place has landed in our lap, everyone's going, well, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. But it's not fine, is it? Because when Liverpool bounce back, we'll drop down a place again. Next season, this season, it'll happen. Liverpool will bounce back and we'll drop. And what if a couple of other teams bounce up? We'll drop. Because this strategy of ignoring a January transfer window isn't going to work. We've got 6 years of Bruno Fernandes today. And we should be celebrating that 6 years. And many people are. And that's absolutely fantastic. But the scary thing is, as I said to you a couple of days ago, is that Bruno Fernandes is one of the best signings we've made this century. He's certainly the best signing we've made since Sir Alex Ferguson retired by a very, very long way. But for those of us who remember, because we live Man United every day, the only reason they signed Bruno Fernandes was because Paul Pogba and Scott McTominay got injured. If they hadn't got injured, we would never have signed Bruno Fernandes. We ignored him in the summer when we were meant to sign him. And then we signed him in the January because we got 2 injuries. I don't think we would have gone back in. We didn't go for him the summer before, and I don't think we'd have gone for him the summer after. And even if we had, I think there'd have been a lot more competition. The reality is, Bruno Fernandes is our best signing in the last decade, and we only signed him in January because we had injuries. If we didn't have the injuries, we wouldn't have done it, and we may never have signed Bruno. So when the club are there today putting out their posts about, oh, Bruno this, Bruno that, bullshit, shit ownership again, with no structure, no strategy, just living on vibes, living on moments, living on luck, basically, because we weren't going to do that deal. And look, we were doing the United Stand then. You can go back and watch the videos. We weren't doing that deal until McTominay and Pogba got injured. So call out the bullshit from this regime. They'll be out there celebrating what they did, but don't have a bloody memory like a bloody goldfish. Actually have a memory that serves the truth. They weren't going to do that deal in January. They only did it because they had to do it because of injuries. And look how successful that turned out to be for Manchester United. And also, just in relation, I've seen a few people saying, well, Liverpool aren't doing anything in the transfer market. Arsenal aren't doing anything in the transfer market. Chelsea aren't doing anything in the transfer market. Maybe we're right not to do anything. Hold on a minute. Man City are doing it for the second year in a row. Arsenal and Liverpool and Chelsea spent a lot of money in the summer building their squads out. They're also already in the Champions League. They're also better than us in relation to their recent history. We're meant to be catching up with those clubs. You can't be like a lap behind somebody and then they stop for a little break and you go, I'll stop for a little break as well. You're a lap behind, you bloody idiot. Well, they're having a rest, so I will. We can't judge ourselves on the terms of Arsenal and Liverpool and Chelsea when they're consistently better than us year in, year out and had a better summer. I don't remember Liverpool or Chelsea or Man City neglecting their midfield any time in the last few transfer windows when they've needed to act. They've both, in fact, all three of those clubs, they might have problems elsewhere, but they're stacked in the midfield. We didn't sign a midfielder for our new manager last summer. That's an IOU. You might want a left back. You might want a left winger. I'd say, well, look, is it an essential thing to do in January? Probably not. It's a nice to have. I'm sure Man City would do it. In fact, they just have done it with Semenyo. But for Man United, the midfield wasn't strengthened in the summer, which was an absolute necessity. And they've not done it again. And I think it's worth mentioning because a lot of people in our fan base are, to be honest with you, strange. They're strange. They shout about one thing and then we have a couple of results and they completely forget about it. Like, it is an absolute joke. And I, for one, am not going to be one of those prats who just forgets that we were meant to actually be active in this window. We were meant to be ambitious. We were meant to go and get a midfielder. And we've actually sat there and gone, nah, we don't want one. We'll wait till the summer. I think it's disgusting. And it's why this football club doesn't win Premier League titles. It's why we don't regularly qualify for the Champions League. It's why five times out of the last 12 seasons, it's why we've only qualified for the Champions League five times out of the last 12 years. So you can celebrate your wins against Man City and Arsenal, but we don't qualify for the Champions League 50% of the time in the last 10 years. We don't compete for titles. And it's because of months like this where they basically sack a manager and spin out the interim. I mean, who bloody interviews for an interim for 2 weeks? All part of the master plan to not spend money. They'll be like this. They'll be like waiting for Christmas. Wilcox and Berarda and Sir Jim. Only got to get to Monday, 7 o'clock, and we've done it. Absolutely fantastic. Let's line up Ornstein for another story about a player that we won't sign. Anyway, we're going to talk about De Zerbi next. I've got a few comments here. Zizou has gifted 5 memberships. Thank you very much. You're a legend, pal. Daniel Thompson says, I hope you're well, Mark, in the United Stand. It's ridiculous. Man United haven't done business this window when we're desperate for signings. It's shameful from the disgraceful ownership. Need them out. Looking forward to driving with Goldbridge. Thank you, Daniel. Well, of course, there is protests on Sunday. What people need to do is understand that We are not protesting against beating Arsenal and Man City. It's a protest against the ownership and the years and years of bad decisions. Is De Zerbi a good idea or not, says Ray. We're about to talk about that. And James Rhodes says we need to apologise to Wilcox because of his signings. No mentions of protests either, Glazer writes. I don't actually know who that is. If that's someone in the chat, I don't know who it is. But we don't need to apologise to Wilcox. Absolute bullshit. Jason Wilcox isn't exclusively responsible for signings. You know what I always find quite funny about the spin is that it's never allowed to... It's Amrim's problem if a player flops. But if a player's successful, it's Wilcox. And yet we know it's a transfer board with Favell, Barada, Amrim, Wilcox, and even Sir Jim and the Glazers stick their nose in. So nobody can exclude... There's nobody on that board that can say, we're signing Sesko and it's all mine. That's just not the way it works. Sesko was also Favell's signing, apparently, but it still has to go through that board. So that's nonsense. As for no mentions of the protest, I said it last night. Why a genuine Man United fan isn't mentioning the protest, whether they're going or not, is, well, may as well wear a Glazer t-shirt, shouldn't you? I mean, I just don't, I'm yet to hear from any of you or anybody out there how it's justifiable for a Man United fan not to be supporting the protests. I just do not get it. So if they're not mentioning it, probably waiting to see if they can get an interview on the US tour. Please give us an interview on the US tour. Knobheads. Full support to the 58 for the tests, for the protests. Also, I like the idea of Enrique/Tuchel as the manager and Carrick number two and takes over in the future. Literally what we spoke about last night, Rajaf. And yeah, maybe that's a way. Casemiro leaves in the summer, so why not get a midfielder in now and give them a chance to settle in? Too logical, average. Too logical to do that. Slazy says, Neves, Goretzka, Sessegnon, Maignan are all free transfers this summer. You think we can make any of them work? We at least need more depth and backup. Well, I saw Fabrizio this morning talking about Goretzka is going to leave. Ruben Neves, we know about. Maignan, I think, is actually signing a new contract at AC Milan, so I don't know about that. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, waiting for free transfers in the summer. I mean, Terry made a great point about this. Terry was saying, I don't want Ruben Neves. I don't want Conor Gallagher. I'm not going to moan because I don't want those types of players. I want Elliot Anderson. I want Angelo Stiller. I want Carlos Baleba. So I suppose the Terry stance is he's willing to wait till January, which I'm not, by the way. Sorry, he's willing to wait till the summer if we're going to get those top signings, which some people might agree with. I don't agree with that. I don't think in football you can wait and there's no guarantee we'll get them. I think we needed to get something done in January and we completely ignored it. There was never any intent from Manchester United to sign a midfielder this January. None. There's been a little bit about loan deals, but there's been nothing about signing anybody. We've made no moves at all. But imagine if we wait till the summer and then we loan Goretzka. I mean, I think people like Terry are going to be furious with that because you're going to go, well, we could have got Conor Gallagher. We could have got Ruben Neves in January. To wait for the summer to get Goretzka is shit. To be honest, Wilcox copped up, sign him Delap, apologise, says Rajaf. And the last time I checked, Amrim chatted up Mbeumo and Cunha. So Glazer writes and Ineos Wilcox lovers, do you think Amrim for those two amazing signings, says Lee Cape Town. Yeah, we're going to thank Wilcox for Ugarte as well. I mean, that's £60 million and he ignored Ten Hag on that one and pushed it through. So yeah, one for Wilcox. Yeah, sacks a manager halfway through the season because he can't manage people. Mark off topic, but thank you for giving me the confidence to build a YouTube channel. Hope to work with you one day. You're the GOAT, says Football Wrapped Show. Thank you very much for your super chat. Right, let's talk about this De Zerbi thing, because this is probably the most topical thing going on this morning. So remember on the show last night, I was talking about how De Zerbi might be getting the sack from Marseille. Well, there were stories coming in late last night and early this morning that he'd resigned as the Marseille manager. That has now been, well, not officially confirmed, but apparently, De Zerbi has told L'Equipe in France that that's not the case and that apparently he's ill. That's why he didn't take training. But something is clearly going on. Like, you don't get rumours of him being sacked, rumours of him resigning, him not being at training. So it sounds like something's going to go on there at Marseille, which is, look, Marseille can be quite, you know, I read a story this morning that apparently Mason Greenwood's not talking to the director of football. So it's not like the most steady of ships at the moment. But the end where this enters for Manchester United, would De Zerbi be quitting for the Manchester United job? I mean, look, a lot of the conversations United need to have with managers need to be taking place over the next few months. But of course, Tuchel will be preparing for England, Nagelsmann for Germany, Pochettino for USA, Enrique's at PSG, Emery's at Aston Villa, Glasner's at Palace, Iriolo's at Bournemouth. So a lot of the managers you're going to talk to are going to be in a job. If De Zerbi's out of a job this weekend, one way or another, Man United can talk to him. They can talk to him. And he is high on their list. So look, is he quitting for the Man United job? I mean, technically you could make it about that, but I think he's probably quitting because he's fell out with Marseille. But he'd also be a fool to quit because there's got to be some sort of severance package there. But then again, maybe it's not that big at a club like Marseille. So I'd certainly keep an eye on it. Somebody said, do you think if De Zerbi quits Marseille, he could be in charge of Man United next week? Well, no, I think they're going to give Carrick, quite rightly, the interim job until the end of the season. But sorry, I'm just going to get rid of this idiot in the chat. You know, it's not a passport to just talk shit, whatever your name was. I'm not reading it out either. Goodbye. Back to sense. De Zerbi is going to be high on Man United's list. If he's out of a job or he resigns, jump before he's pushed, as someone said in the chat, then it means that Man United can just go and talk to him. And in a way, he'd probably move up the queue because he's going to be cheap. A manager that's available is cheap. The same as Glasner, the same as Iriola, the same as Marco Silva, the same as Carrick. They're cheap because they're free. So look, De Zerbi leaving Marseille is significant. I think there's a few Man United fans that don't really want De Zerbi. But look, the reality is we don't know who we're interviewing. We don't know what the plan is. And I'd very much suspect the board don't know either. I mean, we've just spent 10 minutes talking about the lack of transfer activity in January because they've walked into the January window with no plans. That's who's running our football club. We didn't sign a midfielder in the summer, and every single Man United fan, and certainly on this community, from the end of August to the start of January, we were talking about midfielders, who we were going to sign, why we needed to sign a midfielder, as fans. The actual people in charge did nothing. They just rang up David Ornstein and Romano and went, Anderson and Belaber and Wharton in the summer. Yeah. What about January? Wharton in the summer. No, I didn't say anything about January. Wharton, not January. And that's all they've done. Whereas we've all been going, surely we're going to do something in the January transfer window. So the cold, harsh truth is, we don't know what we're doing as a football club. And I don't think they know what they're doing about a manager either. I think they're probably hoping for a Carrick miracle so they can go, that's easy. They're the sort of ownership that make easy decisions, not good decisions. They're the sort of ownership that make rash decisions, not structured decisions. So if Carrick wins a load of games and the fans are singing about Carrick, they'll go, well, let's give it to Carrick, because if it goes wrong, we can blame the fans like we did with Ollie. So that's what they'll be doing. There's no way they're going to go around interviewing Tuchel, Enrique, Ancelotti. They won't do that. But if De Zerbi walks or is sacked, they will interview him because he's free. So look, do I want De Zerbi to get the Man United job? I didn't want him to get the job when we were looking to sack Ten Hag.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
De Zerbi to me, I think at Manchester United, and Sand says no to De Zerbi. Well, let's run a poll on it. I mean, I suppose that's the best way of doing it. We had a few polls last night. What a great show last night, if you didn't see the Fulham preview, by the way. Would you take De Zerbi? I think De Zerbi is an interesting coach, and I'm not as cold to it as I was 2 years ago, because I wanted Ten Hag to stay. I didn't want De Zerbi over Ten Hag. In a situation now where we have no manager, I'd probably be warmer to a De Zerbi appointment than I was. Having said that, I mean, and maybe every manager has this problem, there are certain managers I look at and I can already, it's like AI, I can put them in the dugout at Man United and see their tired and aging face as they face the pressure of being a Man United manager and get sacked. So I think with De Zerbi, I can't see the success, but I can see the failure. And that's really unfair. That's like belabor. That's like me saying he's a flop before he signs. He worries me, belabor. But if we sign him, I'll back him and I'll give him exactly the same patience and time every signing should get. However, so it is unfair to do it, but I look at people like Glasner and De Zerbi and Iriola and I go, good coaches, but I can already see them failing more than I can see them succeeding, because this club has been bad for so long and it's such a difficult job and it's such a shite board that I think it swallows everybody up. But I actually think there's probably only... And even if Carrick gets the job, and maybe he will, like, I'm not opposed to that. But even if Carrick gets the job, I can see him in 2 years absolutely deflated, falling apart, swallowed up, won't be able to deal with the pressure as well. But if you're asking me for a manager that's not going to fall into that trap, well, it's very, very difficult. I think it's a very, very difficult job. And as I've said before, I don't think Pep Guardiola would do well at this job. For that reason, you've got to go for the very, very best you can get. And the very best you can get is, in my opinion, Enrique, Ancelotti, and possibly Emery. And that's the only three I'd be relatively interested to see what they can do. Everybody else, I think it's just how long it takes for them to fail. Baddies, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for joining the Members Club. Make sure you get your badge in. We've also got a comment coming in here from Lucio, who says, would you take Goretzka on a free in the summer if we get another midfielder as well? No. Goretzka's never been a player that excites me, and he has been linked to Manchester United many, many times before. He's 30 years of age and he'll be 31 next week. So that's just not the deal for Manchester United. It's way too close to Casemiro's age. He's never played in the Premier League. No, it's a no. And to be honest with you, I don't actually think United would do it anyway, because he will want big money. And we don't like signing players over 26. So I don't think, for me, it's a no. For some of you, it might be a yes, but for me, that would be a big no. De Zerbi needs very specific players, says James Cave, for his idealistic style of play. Look how many signings he made at Marseille. Just doesn't feel right for us. I don't think we will go for De Zerbi, to be honest, but he was high on the list before. Ryan says, the logical thing would be to say to Bayern, here's 15 million, give us Goretzka. Board won't do it because they don't work like a football club. I don't think Goretzka wants to leave before the end of the season either, Ryan. Bayern are probably going to win the league. They've got a chance of the Champions League. I get the feeling that Goretzka's one of those players that is going to leave in the summer on his own terms and isn't going to leave in January, wants to see the season out, as some people do. So, but again, I actually disagree with you, Ryan. And I actually would agree with the board on that, which is rare, but it shows there's no agenda. I wouldn't be giving Bayern Munich £15 million for Goretzka, who's 31 next week. I wouldn't do it, no. Hi, Mark. For our club to show intent, and they are a serious club, says Lee in Cape Town, go buy Emery's contract out. Forget about hipster managers and Tuchel. Well, he's a gangster, always fighting with the boards after a year, says Lee Cape Town. Thank you very much for that. I've also had a question here from Jid91 about the Champions League, but he says, in your opinion, how many players do we need to sign to have sufficient squad depth to play in the Champions League next season, considering we may need to sell to buy? Well, look, again, this topically fits into a news show because, as we were talking about at the start, it's a disgrace that we've not done anything in the January transfer window, an absolute disgrace. Because when you look at Manchester United Football Club, regardless of Champions League football, we need five or six signings. Even if we weren't in Europe next season, I'd still say we need five or six signings. In addition to that, Casemiro's going to go. Xerxes will go in the summer. Agate might go in the summer. Bruno might go in the summer. Maguire might go in the summer. These are five first team squad players. So we're going to lose somewhere between three and six first team squad players. We already need to add five or six. So you're pushing towards eight, nine there, aren't you? So we're not doing eight or nine signings in the summer. And then, like you say, it's Champions League, so you probably need two or three more. So when you think, look, everybody's personal equation will be different. But I look at that United side and I think we need certainly, let me be conservative. So certainly need a backup striker, certainly need two midfielders, and certainly need someone who can play wide. And I'd also like a more experienced goalkeeper to support Le Mans or challenge Le Mans or be a backup to Le Mans. And I'd also like another fullback. So ideally, I'd want seven players today. Seven today. But let's say four. Let's be conservative and say four. Four players today. Well, Casemiro goes. Well, I think we need two midfielders even with Casemiro. So Casemiro goes. I need another midfielder. Maguire goes, I do need another centre-back. Xerxes goes, well, the backup striker covers that, to be fair. So six in the summer. And then, because we're going to be playing in Europe as well, I need probably another two. I'm being conservative here. You could easily go over 10. So I think we need eight players this summer if we're going to be in Europe to cover off what we need anyway, players that are going to leave and the squad requirements for next season. Eight players in one summer. Forget it. Never. We might not even do half of that. But that's why the January window is so important, because if I'm a competent director of football, I'm saying I've done that equation months ago and I'm going, with the players that are going to leave, the holes in the team and the increased games next season, we're going to need to recruit eight players. They're not all going to be £50 million, but we're going to need to recruit eight players. We then therefore need to use January to get two in, so that then in the summer we only need to do six. And we ignore the January window. And this is what I mean. The circumstances of Man United are wild. We ignore a window when everybody knows we need to buy about 5 to 10 players, which is impossible in one summer when it's a World Cup year. So it's always spin and bluster and bullshit, because anybody with a brain in football knows that Man United need to sign between 5 and 10 players for next season. And we're going to do it all in one window now, instead of utilising a window where you could. But you know what it shows? It shows a lack of ambition, a lack of knowledge and a lack of funds, because no good business would put themselves in a position where they need such a high volume of recruitment and ignore a recruitment window. They wouldn't do it unless they knew they're not got the funds for it anyway, or they know they're shit at their job. Look at Man City last January. How many players did City buy last January? Can't remember, but a few. How many have they bought this January? Two. How many did they buy in the summer? A few. It's strategic, well run to go, that's a window, let's get some in. That's a window, let's get some in. That's a window, let's get some in. You only ignore a window if your team's okay. If you've got a really good team and a really good squad, you ignore the January window. 100% happy with that. But who's ever in that position? Arne Slot's just said this morning that they might make a move for a right back because Frimpong's injured. Chelsea are moving for a centre-back, like they did for Enzo Fernandez, that Xhaka guy. They want to try and get him in before there's a competition for him in the summer. So big clubs, ambitious clubs, are always ready to do stuff when it's needed to be done. United sit there and go, no, we don't like to do anything in January. In your opinion, I've done that one. I don't understand the hype around De Zerbi, says John United. Gary Glazer talks a lot of shit, says Rajath, but I agree that Ineos need to eliminate as many risks as possible. So Tuchel, Enrique, Ancelotti over De Zerbi for me, says Rajath. And Ben Beaton says, the most important transfers we need is Glazers and Ineos out and Sheikh Jazim and Luis Enrique in. You know what, Ben? I probably have mentioned this a couple of years ago, but if we had been recruited or purchased by Qatar, we probably would be able to get Luis Enrique very, very easily, considering PSG and their Qatar connections. Amrim really let us all believe Cobby wasn't the guy. Yeah, we're not going back to bloody Amrim, mate. Grow up. We've got a protest on Sunday. We're talking about a transfer window that closes on Monday, and you want to go and talk about Mainoo and Amrim. Get back into December, bro. The most important transfers when you've done that one. Let me move here. MD agrees pro contract with Arsenal. United should have got him, says Rajath. MD? MD? Who's MD? MD? Anyone in the chat? MD agrees pro contract with Arsenal. United should have got him. MD. I'm waiting for the chat. Max Dowman. He's an Arsenal player, mate. That's a rubbish comment. You're normally quite good. Zerbi equals Conte Jr. Good in league, bad in Europe. Vitek done, good on loan. Edison news, any truth in it? Need Premier League proven, would bring Endia winger, says Seb. A lot of answers in there. Endia at Everton, I don't think there's any truth in it. And Edison, I haven't heard anything about Edison for quite a while. Vitek doing well on loan is good. And look, De Zerbi will be considered, I think. Paul says, I've loved the channel for years. Any plans for a weekly or monthly segment on Man United's youth team players coming through? No. Well, it's like people when they say any plans on the women's team? No. Any plans on the youth team? No. It doesn't mean that there won't be, but me personally, I haven't got the time for that. I think, look, we probably could do something on it and get somebody in to do it. It's a good idea. You could do the same with the women's as well. Probably a good idea, but I'm not going to do it. I just haven't got the time. And also, I think when it comes to the youth, look, you hear of names like Greenwood, you hear of names like Lacey, and to be fair, they come through and they look very, very good. But you also hear of other names that never make it. You also hear of United buying a 16-year-old who's the best player in the world and you never hear of them again. So I think with young players, I'm more than happy to leave it to our youth setup. And when they train with the first team, I'll trust the first team manager. I think there's no, I think it's great when we win the FA Youth Cup because of the history of it. And look, hopefully loads of these young players are going to end up being Man United players. But the difference between youth football and first team football is huge. And until they make that step, it's all just speculation anyway. But some people get really excited about it and go, oh, we've got this player, he's going to be amazing. And hopefully they will be. But until they start training with the first team, I think really that's the point where you can start to get excited. I mean, I remember Ryan Giggs starting for United, making his debut, and Beckham and all that lot. And it's only then where you really start to go, right, what we got here. We don't need eight players. We need a miracle, says Love Hate Games. Thank you very much for that. Who can you get that will accept that we will ignore half of the transfer windows available? Coaches always want reinforcements, says Patrick. Well, a puppet, basically. And you make a very good point. If you're going to be the next Manchester United manager, I mean, look, I've got no sympathy for the next Man United manager, really, because you are walking into this with your eyes wide open. So I think maybe if you were Jose, you could go, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. But there's no manager that's going to take this job now that can go, I didn't know that was going to happen. I think I have sympathy with Amrin because he was recruited as a 3-4-3 coach and you would expect they're going to build you a 3-4-3 team and they asked him to go to a back four. I mean, I think that's bloody ridiculous. It's stupid. But so I do have sympathy for Amrin. But I think the next manager, if you fall for their lies or you don't look at, do your research, you're going to have to take a job where they don't spend money in January. You're going to have to take a job where they'll overrule you on transfers. You're going to have to take a job where the director of football likes to stick his nose in the coaching. So these things which irritate me and I think will hold us back as a football club, the next manager cannot cry injustice because you're walking into that situation willingly. And if you believe their lies, well, that's on you, isn't it? 6 years of Bruno is crazy. I remember you on holiday and the ship sinking. Thank you for all the amazing content, says Jack. That was the summer. That was Mallorca in the summer. That I was like going mad. Please sign Bruno Fernandes. And then they didn't do it. And I thought, well, that's it. We fucked up. And then, as I say, McTominay and Pogba got injured and they went and did the deal. And thank God they did. But very lucky. Very lucky. I do remember that summer before we signed him and we were getting loads of Portuguese reports that United wanted Bruno. And then they didn't do it. And it was ridiculous. Like it was every day. And then we didn't sign him and United sort of put the spin out that they'd never been in for him at all. And you were like, oh. And then McTominay and Pogba got injured and they signed him in the January. So we were very lucky to sign Bruno. I mean, he was definitely a fan signing before he was a club signing. And we were right. We were right. What a signing he's been. I've been burned so many times seeing big talents coming through and smashing it just to fade away. Do you believe it's different this time with players like Dorgu and Mainoo, says Marlowe? I'm very relaxed about Mainoo. I think with Mainoo, there's a really talented player there. Some of our fans don't think he's that good. So I'm wary of going, he's going to be world class, because I think there are some people out there who think he's going to be ass. But
the holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I just think at the moment he's probably, I think Mainoo's lesson in life, and he's got nothing to do with this, it's just a lesson, is that you can be in a really bad situation and think there's no way out of this. And then you wake up the next day and suddenly everything presents itself. And I've had that happen to me a few times in life and it can happen. And sometimes it's just worth hanging in there because you just never know. I mean, a few weeks ago, he was probably going to get loaned out, wanted to leave. He's wearing his brother's wearing a bloody T-shirt, etc. Amrin leaves, Carrick comes in, we go to a three-man midfield, suddenly there's a space in the midfield for him, and he's playing every week. So I think with Mainoo, we don't need to put a label on it. I mean, Jamie Carragher's putting Mainoo in a bloody World Cup squad. I mean, it's laughable, absolutely laughable. He's not in a World Cup squad at the moment. He might be, but he's not in a rush. I'd rather, look, the most important thing for Mainoo is to stay fit. Any injury for a player now, as we've seen with Dorgu, is significant. You could be out, if you miss the next 2 months, you're basically missing most of the season at this stage because you're not going to be back till April. So I think with Mainoo, it's about consistency. I would rather see Mainoo steadily get better over the next 10 games, putting in good performances, than see a worldie and then a shit game. But he's got that platform now. As for Dorgu, I'm just disappointed, Marlowe. I think the time was now for Dorgu, and he was doing really, really well. And then he goes and gets injured. So look, let's hope he can get back from injury and carry on, because I think he's one of our most exciting players at the moment. Hi, Mark. Say you don't think we go for De Zerbi. Who do you think United will go for then, says Fritz? Well, I think we're going to give the job to Carrick, because I think the ownership are rubbish. And I think they'll go for the easy option. But if we don't go for Carrick, I feel like Tuchel might be the guy. Maybe Pochettino. I'm dreaming of Luis Enrique, but I suspect he will sign a new contract. De Zerbi was the one who brought Belaba to Brighton. He even called him the future of the club. Would De Zerbi be Ineos preparing for Belaba? Interesting take there from Goldfridge, definitely. And I remember De Zerbi's Brighton side getting some right batterings would be a disaster, says Itchy. As well. Okay, I want to talk about you did Bruno watch along for his last game, says Jack. I was obsessed with Bruno. It's sort of me, really. I am probably more critical of players that I think are good if they're playing badly than I am with players that I don't give a shit about who I think are shit. So I have given Bruno some quite bad scores over the years. However, I think he's our best player. And now he's back playing as a number 10. I'd do everything in our powers to keep him, because he is frustrating. I understand Ricky. I understand people who call him a Hollywood moments player. I've done it myself. But you can't hide away from the fact that, I mean, he's got 10 assists in the Premier League this year. He's the top assister in the Premier League. Like, normally there's a niche or a nuance to United stats, but he is the top assister in the Premier League this season, and he's been playing in the midfield for a lot of that time. So assists and goals are worth a lot of money. They're the best number 10 in the league by a long way. They're worth a lot of money. To let that walk out the door, I think, is a mistake for a team that's still... When's Man United never going to be in transition, by the way? Man City are going through a transitional year, and next year they'll be established. Most teams go through transition for 1 year. Man United have been in transition for 13 years. You don't let players like that go when you're in transition, because stability and consistency is hard to find in transition. And look, that's a true statement, isn't it? Man United have been in transition for 13 years. Most clubs are out of transition in 6 to 12 months. I would not be letting Bruno Fernandes leave when we are definitely going to be in transition next season as well, and probably the year after that. I mean, I don't know when we're not going to be in transition, because if you keep sacking managers and you keep buying shit players and you keep needing to replace players and you've got a board like we've got, you're always going to be in transition. So players like that, really important. Craig says, love the new thumbnail on Driving with Goldbridge. It's up, is it? I didn't realise it was that time. Okay, what do you think about using Heaven in the midfield, says Emil. And good day, Mark. You missed my super chat, says Marlo. I didn't. I read it. I think you're just getting ahead of yourself. I don't miss super chats on a morning show. I just go back and read them. I wanted to just cover off Martinez's comments about Carrick as well. Let me read these for you. So, Michael Carrick... Martinez talking about Carrick. He said, the difference Carrick has made in a short time for me, I'll say I'm really impressed with him. His body language, energy, communication, the way he trusts the players, the way he talks and connects with everyone. It's unbelievable. The staff as well are very close to the players. He says, I think if you play for this club, it's because you have something. You need people who understand your quality. And I think Carrick is doing that. He's getting the best out of everybody, not just the players, but the staff. The standard, the structure and demands are really important. And for me, when you touch my heart, I will give you everything. And he touched it already. And you can see that on the pitch, we give everything. Well, look, that's a very nice statement. But I suppose I would probably just pick up on that last bit and say, were you not giving everything before Carrick then? Were you not giving everything for Ten Hag? Because, look, a new manager comes in, the lights go on, you get the bounce. That's great. But I always do think... And I remember saying this when it happened with Ollie. We went and won 8 games. Pogba and co were all playing really well. Ollie's at the wheel. And I did think at the time, well, that's great, isn't it? But are you not exposing yourselves a little bit that For 4 months under Mourinho, one of the greatest managers that's ever been, you were absolutely shit. And then Ollie comes in and you're all at it again. Does that not fit into the light switch? Because I want United players that give everything every week because the fans turn up every bloody week. But look, Martinez, I think, is one of those players that does anyway. So, but certainly other players I don't think do. So yeah, look, positive stuff there. I think it was something else as well. Yeah, look, all very positive. Two fantastic results. We've just got to, we've got to do it every week. I mean, I'm tired of talking about inconsistency. I'm tired of talking about our inability to break a low block. I was watching the overlap with Roy Keane, and I think he was saying the similar sort of thing, that they've got to be able to do it every week. So I wouldn't get carried away that you've beaten Man City and Arsenal, because every manager that's been here, from Van Gaal to Amorim, from Jose to Ollie to Ten Hag, they all had these results. I think every single one of them beat Man City at least once. So we've done these types of results. I mean, bloody hell, Amorim won at Anfield. Like, how many years have we won at Anfield? So it's that consistency. Words mean nothing. Results mean everything now. And as I said in the preview last night, when you look at this season, and I did Premier League predictions with Robbie this morning. Check it out on That's Football. And we were talking about the Fulham game. And he was saying, are you not worried about a United draw? And I said, well, I understand every United fan that is worried about a draw. But when you look at this season, and it is so scary. Let me just get this up. I think it works with a visual really, really well. Take that and party. So yeah, look, we've got, what have we got? What do we got? We have 38 points and we're 12 points off the top, right? Now, I'm not saying that any other club couldn't do this. However, and as I said last night, I'm not going to include Everton because I think Everton, even with 10 men, they deserve to beat us. We should have beat Everton, but I'm talking about the context of the game that I watched. Everton deserve to beat us. Brentford deserve to beat us, even though we shouldn't be losing those games. However, Burnley under Fletcher, that should have been 2 more points. Yeah. Leeds under Amorim, that should have been 2 more points when you think about the chances that Sesko had. Bournemouth definitely should have been 2 more points. West Ham should have been 2 more points. Let's say one of Forest and Spurs should have been two more points, even though both should have been. And Fulham away should have been. So that's 12, being conservative again. You had 12 points on, we're top of the bloody league. And every one of those games I've said, we should have won. Like, the way the game went, we should have won. We missed chances. We defended badly. Obviously, you get what you get. But we should have won those games. So when I'm looking at United and I'm looking at consistency and I'm looking at Fulham, we've got to turn that corner at some point. We've got to. Like, we're not... I don't think we were that far off under Amorim. In fact, somebody said to me last night, you said you weren't that far off under Amorim, and yet a lot of United fans wanted him to get the sack. How could he have kept his job? I said there's 3 things for me that would have kept Amorim in his job, because ultimately the work rate of the team, he had the players, we were so close to the results. There's 3 things that would have kept him in a job. He never should have played Bruno in the midfield. He should have been given a midfielder. And when we were winning games, he shouldn't have sat back. He shouldn't have tried to defend his way and hold on to a lead, because that cost us a lot of points. And look, maybe he was never going to change that, and maybe he would have lost his job in the summer anyway. But I think we were very close with Amorim. Very, very close. There were so many games we should have won. There's so many chances we created. There was so much intensity. And if Michael Carrick can just say, when we're winning, let's not sit back. We'll win more games. We'll win more games. And we literally did it last week against Arsenal. When it got to 2-2, I think Amorim would have sat back and Arsenal probably would have won it. But when it got to 2-2, we actually still tried to attack. What about the part of getting best out of players, says Class of 99? What does that mean? Oh, are we talking about Amrim again? Well, what do you mean about getting the best out of players? So we didn't get the best out of the players, even though we were in the top three for chances created, XG, shots in the box. I disagree. I mean, look, you're never going to get me to go back and say that the Amrim era was a total waste of time and a joke, because factually, statistically, it wasn't. And as I just said then, all of those results we were talking about, we literally should have won all those games. I just think he was a little bit too defensive when we were winning games, and we were a bit wasteful with the chances we created. Otherwise, we'd be a lot higher up in the league. He got sacked because Wilcox is an idiot and wanted him to change formation halfway through a season and wouldn't buy in players. We've now got Carrick. We've got to move forward with that. We've got to turn those draws into wins to make sure we get the Champions League. And it starts on Sunday. And I think we will win on Sunday, because I don't think we're going to sit back if we're 1-0 up against Fulham. I think we'll go for the second and the third, because I think Carrick, like I have and like many of you have, will have assessed the last few months of the season and gone, there was a lot more wins there because United went conservative. Let's not be conservative. Let's go for it. Right. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I'm just about to type it into the chat. Unfortunately, it won't directly... I can't directly... I don't think I can anyway. I might be able to. I pinned it in the live chat. New Driving with Goldbridge has literally just gone up about 5 minutes ago. But it's not a live stream, so I won't be able to just push you over there, unfortunately, which is a shame. So go to the pinned live chat or just type in Going with Goldbridge. I'll also put it in the top of the video description as well. I know what I should have done. I should have done it as a bloody premiere. That's what I did last week for the Cooking with Goldbridge. Anyway, Kyle says you missed my super chat. Let me find it for you, Kyle. Heaven in the midfield. I mean, you could put Martinez in the midfield. Paul, Tullius, Patrick, Jack, Marlowe, Fritz, Goldfridge, Itchy, Badis, Lucho, James, Ryan, Lee, Jids, John, Rajaf, Dale, Ben, Party. Kyle, De Zerbi is so similar to Amrim. He is wedded to his ideas. As soon as the board get involved, we will be back to square one. Maybe a fair point. Right, go and check out Driving with Goldbridge. Please do support it. Cooking with Goldbridge was back last Friday. Driving with Goldbridge is back this week. They're going to go head-to-head very soon, because I'm going to do a series of one and bin the other one off after a little bit later in the year. But for now, you get the joy of both. Check it out. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Beth's back with press conference at 1:30. I've got a new video style coming up on this channel for about 5 o'clock as well. So make sure you're subscribed. That will be going out at 5, something a little bit different. And I will speak to you all in a bit. 79% of you don't want De Zerbi. Take care. Check out Driving with Goldbridge. I'll speak to you in a bit.